This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Osteothera plus Ipraflavone from Claire Labs. As we age, forestalling and even reversing bone loss becomes more and more important. Osteothera plus Ipraflavone is a comprehensive formulation that supports optimal bone density. Osteothera plus Ipraflavone is vital for supporting the body in the formation and regeneration of bone to ensure your optimal skeletal health. For more information and to purchase Osteothera plus Ipraflavone, just go to my online dispensary at drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here we are once again. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. We're fielding questions that are sent to us via radio program. I'm punchy with this. I keep doing this every radio program at AOL.com. And that's the destination for questions related to medicine, nutrition. With me, helpfully correcting me and fixing my lapses in brain
function. It's that time of day, Dr. Hoffman.
Yeah,
not to worry.
I think I'm experiencing a bit of a postprandial crash. I had a big lunch. So with me today is Layla Mutin. She's our resident nutritionist with a master's degree in the field of nutrition, as well as she's a registered dietitian. So, how you doing, Layla?
Okay, Dr. Hoffman. How are you?
Good, good. Well, you know, we're going to answer questions in just a second, but I just wanted to comment on a study in JAMA, Journal of the American Medical Association, the oncology edition of JAMA, which purports to show that there is a relationship between the use of complementary medicine and shortened lifespan among cancer patients. And in the New York Times, it was reported as follows. New York Times, an implacable foe of everything alternative.
Mm-hmm. Over and over again.
And I might say, a real Kool-Aid swallower in terms of stories that demand a little bit of critical evaluation. Anyway, the New York Times says, in its headline, people who used herbs, acupuncture, and other complementary treatments tended to die earlier than those who didn't. Okay, so, you know, I saw the article. I saw a lot of flaws in the article. We talked a little bit about it on some of my programs. But now comes a really outstanding rebuttal from John Weeks. John Weeks is someone who I've interviewed. He's not a physician, but he's a really well-informed proponent of natural medicine,
integrative medicine.
He's the publisher of The Integrator, and you can find his critique at integrator.com. It's very detailed, and but basically, what he's saying is that this study by a couple of doctors at Yale, Skylar Johnson and James Yu, there's a lot of problems with it. Number one, wouldn't it seem that if you wanted to do a study of integrative or complementary medicine management of cancer, that you would actually bring in some people on the study who were doing that?
Absolutely.
For co-authorship.
Yeah.
Cooperation. So instead, it was done in the belly of the beast in the Department of Radiation Oncology of Yale University, which happens to be kind of,
complementary medicine. And what did they know about complementary medicine over there?
Right. Yeah. Well, so what they did was they went through, they didn't actually talk to anybody. They just looked at a bunch of records. And from the records, somehow, they data mined, they ascertained that a very, very tiny fraction, like less than 1% of people used complementary alternative medicine and refused conventional cancer treatment, which is suspicious on its face, because their estimates that maybe over half of people who get cancer are using some form of alternative therapy, right?
Yes.
And often they use it in conjunction with conventional medicine.
Which is integrative medicine.
Which is truly integrative medicine.
Yeah.
So actually, I showed this to one of my colleagues, Lee Zalshigler, who's an expert in cancer, a rock star naturopath. And she wrote back very quickly. She said, I'm not even going to bother to take apart this study, because this study is not even about what we do, which is integrative medicine. It's about alternative medicine. In other words, either or. It's like either conventional medicine or alternative medicine.
Right.
And really, we don't practice, quote, alternative medicine because there's no alternative to good medicine, which is intelligent medicine, which is integrating the two. So, so really, this study had that as a fundamental flaw. There's all kinds of statistical problems with the study. The other thing is they said, they looked at patients, with curable cancers and, you know, that could be treated successfully with conventional treatments, versus the ones who refuse treatment for curable cancers. I guess they said, you know, these are not like the most devastating cancers, like pancreatic cancer, advanced pancreatic cancer, which is a very, but they said like, you know, colon cancer, breast cancer, I think they looked at prostate cancer, and they said these, you know, certainly in the early stages are curable with conventional treatment. Well, somebody in the critique pointed out, if the study, if they were so curable, how come they took the conventional treatment and then they still died anyway? Which there
Great
were,
question.
Some people died.
Yeah.
It wasn't like everyone who took conventional treatment survived.
Yes.
And, you know, everyone who eschewed conventional treatment, you know, succumbed to the cancer. Mm-hmm. What they did find is that there was a, something like some twofold higher risk overall for dying from these utter refuseniks who I think probably, if it's accurate, they refused treatment when they probably should have received some aspect of conventional treatment. So, you know, the other thing is that actually in one of the cancers, I think it was colon cancer or prostate cancer, there was really no difference.
Interesting.
So, and this is untreated cancer.
Untreated cancer.
You know, so there was, it was hard
so
to...
So they misdefined, if that's a word, that and the whole survival rate thing of 5 years, I find very questionable myself.
So they believe that, you know, a lot of even just regular statisticians, and I got to admit, I don't really understand they get into the weeds about the analysis and, you know, the strength of the small number of people in the study that could not yield robust statistical significance.
Right.
And that's something...
So that's the third lie, because there's lies, damn lies, and statistics.
Thank you. Right. Exactly. Very good. So you can use a statistical manipulation, but actually expert statisticians took a look at the study and said it's not a good study because it doesn't really reach statistical significance based on the way they set it. And I have to admit, you know, I just read a commentary that doctors are woefully unprepared to understand statistics. They just don't, so they don't explain to patients that there may be a tiny advantage to using a medication when the drug company portrays it as some incredible breakthrough that, you know, it's
at a 95% confidence interval. Using
all this kind
whatever
of stuff,
regression analysis.
To p-value of 0.01,
exactly.
So that stuff mystifies me a little bit. Yeah. But anyway, they say it wasn't a good paper. So they're actually going to ask that they retract the paper. They won't retract the paper, but you know,
doesn't matter if they retract it, Dr. Hoffman.
They've already poisoned the well.
Out there.
They poisoned the well. They poisoned the well. And you know, what it's going to do is it's not so much going to deter patients, but what it's going to do is it's going to, doctors are sort of dipping their toe into that. They're developing a little bit more of an acceptance for it. They don't go, you know, livid with rage when a patient suggests using certain supplements or herbs.
Yeah.
They're starting to have a little more openness to this. And then they read the JAMA Oncology article and they say, oh, you know, but I don't
stop taking your vitamins.
Yeah, because it's going to kill you.
Yes, you
can't
stop
do that. Or it's going to, or the other misconception, and really this is a misconception, is that just the presence of these things makes people think that they don't need conventional treatment. And that's not been the case in my experience.
That's not been the case.
Yeah.
And I know that's not the advice given around here.
Although there are some instances where it could be argued that for certain cancers, we're not very successful at all. The side effects of the treatment are devastating. The survival rates are abysmal with treatment. Mm-hmm. And so some people embark on a full-fledged alternative treatment process. And there's some successes with that. It's not it's not a slam dunk. It's not that reliable.
Right.
But it's also not an utter failure or folly for patients to do that.
I think there's a lot of proof, there's a lot of science behind intravenous vitamin C treatments.
Well, that's one thing. I'm thinking more of a comprehensive treatment program like Dr. Gonzalez, the late Dr. Nick Gonzalez, who actually had a series of case reports of patients who had advanced pancreatic cancer, which is, you know, acknowledged to be a terminal disease.
Yeah.
And these patients were coming back to him 10 and 20 years later just to shoot the bull with him and, you know.
How are you doing,
Nick? Exactly.
God rest his soul.
And I've seen it. And I, you know, there were cases he tried to publish case reports. He was he published there's a great deal of literature that he published and it's been published posthumously about his successes.
Yeah.
And while I don't think that ultimately that's going to be the direction that it's going to take in oncology, I don't think that we're going to put aside conventional means of treating cancer and in favor of naturopathic or natural means of treating cancer. I think that his work is very significant and powerful.
It is.
Anyway, absolutely. So that's, you know, I just wanted to, you know.
But that's just that clickbait headline of, you know, you do this, you're going to die, pretty much. So,
and it's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's proceed.
Okay, we've got an email from Petra. Aloha, Dr. Hoffman. I'm a dedicated listener of your podcast and reader of your newsletter.
Obviously, 6,000 miles away.
Yes.
Hawaii.
Yes. Thank you very much for the quality health information you and Layla share with the world. I'm a 58-year-old healthy female. I eat ketogenic. My blood work is excellent. No blood sugar issues. My D is 75. My triglycerides are 50. All of our numbers are great. She's taking some really wonderful supplements. It's obvious that she listens, Dr. Hoffman. She's also part-time.
None of that matters because she's living in paradise.
She's living in paradise.
Which could also be conducive to health.
Right.
Unless you get hit by a molten lava.
Fog, as they call it.
Volcanic fog.
Fog, yes. Fog. Oh, yeah. So she's concerned that her white blood cell count has been on the decline.
Okay.
The most recent count being about 3.0. But then she found out that that taking ibuprofen now and then for her hands, because she's athletic, she's a tennis coach, can decrease white blood cell count.
And that's true. I looked that up. And actually, one of the, there's been several articles that talk about its adverse effects on white counts.
Yeah.
Not always, not invariably.
Yeah. When she first noticed that her white blood cell count was going down, she embarked taking 6 grams of vitamin C a day, got tested later, and it went back up.
Okay.
However, she didn't necessarily continue that regimen.
Mm-hmm.
So she was wondering, she wants to know how concerned she should be. Because her father died of a very aggressive form of leukemia at age 69. Should I pursue to get my bone marrow tested, am I paranoid?
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Is there's a certain threshold where when the white count declines to a certain extent, doctors say, well, it could be nothing, but maybe let's just check your bone marrow because it could be a precursor to a malignancy. Now, this is not necessarily a sign of leukemia or that you'll ever get leukemia, but it could be a sign of a depletion of the bone marrow, which is pretty common.
Okay.
It's common as people age.
Yeah.
Does this person take
She's 58.
58, so relatively young, yeah.
Yeah.
She has a family history of leukemia, which is not particularly hereditary.
Okay. So, very, very interesting. So, should she get her bone marrow?
That's up to the oncologist.
That's
the oncologist
up to the,
really... You know, what I would do with this kind of patient is I would, you know, maybe every 3 months I would get a white count, see if it's trending down, and, you know, maybe
then do something.
Pull the trigger if it's like 2.8 or 2.6.
Yeah.
Get a bone marrow, make sure everything's okay.
Okay. And she says, mahalo nui loa.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Okay.
Petra, thank you. Thank you for your question. Best of luck to you. Let us know how you do. Email us.
Yeah. I guess she also wants to know, what can you do to raise the white count? Is there a supplement that is invariably raises the white count? I might suggest
vitamin C
helps.
Yeah.
You know, things that support the immune system, vitamin E, zinc, selenium, but also specialized things. Maybe colostrum has a good immune effect. You know, colostrum LD is something that is made by Sovereign Laboratories. It's a sponsor, but that's an immune supportive nutrient. Might help. The other thing that I've used in the past is alkylglycerols from shark liver oil.
Alkylglycerols.
That has actually, in a few patients, I've seen that improve the white count. Maybe AHCC, although AHCC is more working on natural killer cells.
Did you mention green tea, EGCG?
As
that would be another one, right?
To raise the white count?
To raise.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Does it do that? Yeah.
As immune booster, anyway, anything very chemoprotective.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
If it was CLL, we like EGCG for that.
But that's a high white count. That actually brings a high white count under control.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that if taking too much green tea is going to lower your white count if it's normal.
Okay.
In an abnormal production of white cells, it might slow the progression of that disease.
Okay.
So, these are what are called myeloproliferative disorders, where the bone marrow kind of gets, it's the factory where the white blood cells, the red blood cells, the platelets get made. Mm-hmm. And it gets sort of infiltrated with, I wouldn't even say malignant cells, but pre-malignant cells.
Mm-hmm.
And, you lose the quality of the factories within your bone marrow.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the way it progresses. Okay. Thank you, Petra.
Good point at which to pause to allow one of our sponsors to share a message with you. So here goes. Listen up.
As we age, forestalling and even reversing bone loss becomes more and more important. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with a comprehensive formulation that supports optimal bone density to ensure your future bone health. It's Osteothera plus Ipraflavone from Claire Labs. Osteothera plus Ipraflavone helps inhibit bone resorption and promotes new bone formation. The Osteothera plus Ipraflavone formulation is vital for supporting the body in the formation and regeneration of bone to ensure your optimal skeletal health. I believe in Osteothera plus Ipraflavone so much that I've included it in the Intelligent Medicine Bone Health Protocol, and I recommend it to my patients. For more information and to purchase Osteothera plus Ipraflavone, just go to my online dispensary at drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. drhoffmanstore.com.
Thanks so much for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you. And now back to our questions. Layla, what's next?
All right. We've got an email from John. Dr. Hoffman and Layla, what is your take on CBD oil? Any recommendations for searching for a reputable product or supplier?
Well, it just...
I've not used it myself.
Product placement.
Yeah, product
placement. We just, this has been something I've been trying to line up for several years now, is a sponsor that makes a really good quality CBD oil. And it's the folks who are getting on board with us, I believe the company is pluscbdoil.com.
Ah,
and the product is Plus CBD. And they are one of the big online purveyors of CBD. Now, part of the problem in getting them to sponsor is just this sort of shadow legality of CBD, because it's different in every state, every locality. And so to have a presence on the internet and to sell to people all over the country, there were some, it's not like illegal, but it's just some
So it wouldn't necessarily be offered on Full Script.
It's not on Full Script.
It's not.
It's going to be offered independently through their website.
Okay.
So anyway, I'm a big fan of CBD. I think CBD has great potential. They've actually recently did an animal experiment. CBD helped to prolong survival of mice with pancreatic cancer who were the mice were getting some form of chemo. The efficacy of the chemo was boosted. That doesn't necessarily apply to humans, but it shows great potential. It's
something
for helpful for pain, for insomnia, for anxiety. I recommend it a lot for patients with mild anxiety. As an alternative to sleep medication. For pain, I've been taking it, exploring it. I don't know, I don't get much of a buzz. I hardly notice that I'm taking it, but I think I'm a little bit, it takes a little the edge off.
Chills you out.
I tend to be anxious and, so it's not like I'm not anxious when I take it, but I think a little more chill make a 30% kind of effect. I don't feel disoriented or knocked out ever.
It's a good way to be.
I sleep well with or without it. It doesn't make a difference. I've tried it in different ways. I've tried it orally. I've tried it topically for aches and pains.
Uh-huh.
I've even vaped it. Mm. With all the bad news about vaping, I'm not sure that vaping a hot, burning plant material of any kind is such a good idea.
Yeah. What is the preferred delivery system?
It depends on who you ask. It depends. Okay. You know, like vaping is fast, gets into your, you know, gets
in
very
faster.
Quickly.
Mm-hmm.
There's also, since we do a lot of colitis, ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease, remember that patient we had who absolutely was convinced that CBD made a big difference in his Crohn's
yes,
disease?
Yes, I remember.
And he was desperate to get CBD. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it just hits the spot.
There really are some studies on the, not just that it, you might say, well, okay, yeah, you get a little stoned so you feel better, you think you're better, but actually it is anti-inflammatory per se. These terpenoids and these endocannabinoids that are present in hemp oil actually have an anti-inflammatory effect.
Wonderful.
So this, and I think this is going to be like the new curcumin or the new glucosamine. It's a real big phenomenon in natural medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it's entering the natural medicine realm. It's a good direction, you know, because we don't really want it to become like exclusive province of the pharmaceutical industry and mm-hmm. just available by prescription.
Or just medical marijuana, although that's different from CBD.
That's
weird,
but you know, I think there's some people with really heavy duty pain problems. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have opioid addiction, I don't know if taking a little CBD is going to make a big difference for you. You might need something with some THC.
You might need methadone.
Well, medical marijuana is actually an alternative to those. Yeah. You know, it's a totally different thing, and you don't get addicted to it.
Yeah.
I'm for it. I think it's a good thing.
Great. So we're waiting for, and it's plus CBD.
Mm-hmm.
And
there'll be an announcement. There'll be an announcement soon. You know, since we record these a little ahead of time, by the time this podcast is aired, there may already be announcements on our program.
So it'll be soon.
Yeah.
So hang in there, John.
Yeah. Relief is on the way.
Relief is on the way.
Now I just need a good, like, dark chocolate manufacturer. We're also working on that, by the way. We want like a 95% dark chocolate manufacturer, you know, with like nutraceutical properties of cocoa.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
But,
you know, everybody loves
we're working on it.
Everybody loves chocolate.
Yep.
Can't go wrong with that one. We have a very nice note from Pauline. It was because of my respect for you, Dr. Hoffman, that I embarked on the Whole 30. I want to divert a minute to let you know here that over 20 years ago, when you interviewed Elaine Gottschall, God rest her soul, who's the author of Breaking the Vicious Cycle, who was the author of the specific carbohydrate diet, Pauline was suffering from ulcerative colitis.
Wow.
And she knew from day one of her diet protocol that this was working and she was on the mend. So
fabulous.
She's been a great fan of yours since.
Fabulous.
Pauline is 72. She's in great health. Sometimes she has inflammation in her joints, and she's never really been able to lose weight. She's been doing the Whole 30 for 90 days, and she feels great. She doesn't miss wine, which she used to have every day with dinner. She's down 13 pounds, mm-hmm. and her workouts have gotten easier, and she has less joint pain.
Fabulous.
So a very big thank you.
Great.
Once again.
So I'll recall to you that there's this... She thinks she's overweight. Did she state what her weight was?
She didn't, but she's dropped 13 pounds.
So she dropped weight. So and she might
have
equilibrated a lower weight.
Yeah.
Interesting. There's this controversy about can you be a healthy overweight person? And there's actually a book called The Obesity Paradox, which had some true elements to it.
Mm-hmm.
But the controversy keeps going back and forth. It's like, no. Absolutely not.
No.
It's like, no.
The science is settled.
Right. And then there's other people say, nah, but there's certain, you know, like obviously obesity is associated with diabetes, cardiovascular risk, hypertension, blah, 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 inflammation, all bad things. But there are instances where people are chunky or heavy and they're quite healthy. They're metabolically okay.
Right. And their biochemistries are fine.
A study came out recently, was a good news, bad news study. It was the good news is, yes, you can be overweight and even in the category of obese, which I think is BMI 33 or something.
30.
Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm 25, you know, that's normal.
Mm-hmm.
So So the good news is you
can't. No, you're less than 25.
Maybe
25 is the threshold of overweight.
So maybe
30
20,
is the threshold.
24.
Yeah.
So anyway, so
we don't like BMI, but that's a whole other conversation.
So let's forget the BMI. This study said that there you can be metabolically healthy. That's the good news if you're overweight. The bad news is that it's only about 1 in 20 people who are that.
Exactly.
You know, is that it's, exactly so that. That actually kind of resolves that paradox because, yes, it is possible, but it's not likely.
It's not likely.
So it's sort of like, you know, if you want to...
How do you know? It's really an ad hoc basis.
If you want to go fishing, you don't go to the Sahara Desert. You know, it's like, it's not a place where you're going to find health, if you're overweight, right? Yeah. To use a crude analogy. So, so that's it. So, all right. So this is, we're going to not cram another question into this segment because we divide our podcast into two parts. So forgive the digressions and we will get back on track with, give us a preview of what the next question will be.
Oh, Dr. Hoffman, I have difficulty swallowing pills. What's a good recommendation for a multi or a chewable? What can I do about this?
I'm gonna defer to you on that answer in part two, because that you know I come up with all these ideas that people should take stuff, and then they come slinking into your office and say, I can't take all these pills, you have to work it out for
them.
Okay,
exactly.
So we'll take that up in part two.
Yeah.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, today with Layla Mutin, our nutritionist in residence. It's our Q&A with Layla, and we'll be right back.